This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Good morning. Happy day before Thanksgiving and welcome to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Jess Plotkin-Sell on the board in for Calvin, who's got the week off. He deserves it. We're coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. And you can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up on the show for you today, Maggie Dawn, host of the wonderful and award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Mm-hmm. From 2 to 4 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network is going to be joining us. We're going to talk again a little bit more about Michael Gableman. She had Jeff Mandel on from Law Forward.
Yes.
And he explained how Michael Gableman essentially broke every rule he could possibly break. And there's a great editorial in the Cap Times about our favorite assembly speaker.
Oh, the Popcorn King?
The Popcorn King, the Robin Voss. So we're gonna throw that in there as well. I love their editorials at the Cap Times. Yes, largely because I agree with them, but also because I think they're funny. Next hour, we will lighten things up. Day before Thanksgiving, we're going to change things around a little bit. We're going to kick off the 11 o'clock hour with Tater Tot Casserole Wars.
Yeah.
This is an infight going on between one of my sisters and me.
Is that really a war?
Greg, do you have sisters?
I have one.
Okay. So, yeah, that's a war.
It's a war.
It can be full of love, but it's still a war.
Well, and it's who's right.
Right.
Is it right? That's what it comes down to.
Absolutely.
And this has to do with the ingredients in the tater tot casserole. I feel I have experts on my side. We'll have to see. We'll take your calls after 11 o'clock. Tater tot casserole wars at 11:20. Brittany Merlot will be here with weather and wine. We're going to take a look at what you can expect if you're hitting the roads. A lot of people hitting the roads today.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, Friday. So we'll see what the weather is going to do for that, and hopefully you'll have a nice, safe travel experience. Tyler Moss is the co-founder and writer for Milwaukee Record. He will be here at 11:33, also talking about casseroles.
Do you think we can ask him his thoughts on what you're going through?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
I feel like the whole 11 o'clock hour is just going to be an underpinning of trying to make you the correct person in this battle.
Is that wrong?
No. Hey, if your sister wanted to, she'd get her own show. So,
and then we're going to wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, going along with the Thanksgiving theme, it is Turkey versus Unexpected Visitor Edition.
Okay.
Yes, that will come up at 11:51, so I hope you can stick around for that. Did want to start off, though, with this headline from the Washington Post. Americans are not getting seasonal vaccines ahead of the holidays. Experts are worried that the unenthusiastic embrace, that's one way to put it, of vaccines could spark outbreaks and increased hospitalizations. Yeah, the numbers are down again. As of this month, 37% of people 18 and older had gotten a flu shot. Just 19% got updated COVID vaccines. 40% of folks 75 and older who they're at the greatest risk, they got the RSV vaccine. The vaccination rates are similar to last year's. The numbers reflect a persistent public health challenge achieving broader vaccine uptake for these illnesses. I got my shots a couple of weeks ago.
I'm getting my shot soon. It's been on my list of things to do. I believe in the vaccines. I'm going to get the vaccines, but I haven't. But my question is, you know, where was this number 6 years ago?
That's a very good question.
6 years ago. And then on top of that, now you have this, you always will have the people who don't do it by principle, regardless, people who forget or whatever. But now it just seems like, I'm not getting the vaccine. So how many of those?
I'm not a sheeple.
I'm not a sheeple. I don't do what I'm told. Like all my other friends who aren't getting a vaccine, I'm not doing it either.
Yeah. I had the flu once. The actual flu.
Yeah. Ever?
I've only had it once.
That's impressive.
Wow.
But I will never forget how sick I was.
Yeah, it's awful.
It's a different kind of sick.
It's a whole new level of, God, I think I'm going to die.
For me, the flu is, I've gotten it many times, and I get it usually once a year.
Do you?
Yes. Sometimes I get it twice a year. Because, for me personally, it feels like your body's saying, hey, you know how you didn't take care of yourself?
You didn't get enough rest?
You didn't get enough rest. Well, now you have to get rest, and it's not going to be pleasant either. Like, you're taking a small vacation from work, but you're not going anywhere. You're going to be on your couch, and you're going to be in pain for at least 3 days.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
And it's the combination of the high fever.
Yep.
And
the pain.
Yeah, the just pain. The pain, that the body aches and mm-hmm. all of that. The flu is not a pleasant experience.
No.
And again, if you've never had actual influenza, we're not talking about stomach flu.
No.
That's not what this is. This is a whole different level of ugh.
Yeah.
Coverage lowest in both years among people without insurance who said they are not likely to get the flu or COVID vaccines. Young people and those living in cities and suburbs are also less likely to get vaccinated. I certainly understand younger people.
Yeah.
I didn't get the flu shot for many, many years because, you know, I'm 27. Like,
I'll live forever.
I'm indestructible and nothing is going to hurt me. And then I got it that 1 year and it was like, I think I'll get this now. About 9% of kids younger than 18 have gotten this year's COVID shot. 33% vaccinated against the flu. To protect infants from RSV, they recommend vaccination during pregnancy.
Okay.
And a monoclonal antibody treatment for babies younger than 8 months entering their first RSV season. As of March, about 41% of eligible infants had gotten that RSV treatment. And from what I've read about that for infants, it's just RSV is excruciating. And their parents, I can't imagine how painful that is. To be a parent watching your child struggle with something like that.
I just think of the parents. I mean, like, it's awful for parents who have to go through it, but then there's parents out there who are like, I'm not vaccinating my child. And then they have to go through something like this, and it's too late at that point. They can't get vaccinated for what they have right in the moment. And I don't know. I will never, ever understand this gauntlet being thrown down on vaccinations ever. It's like, vaccinations are an insult to people's intelligence. You know, they're vaccinations. They help. It's proven. Sometimes people have side effects or adverse reactions.
Absolutely. That happens.
Nothing. But like, we were listening to that video of RFK Jr. saying there's no cancer vaccinations that are safe and effective. He's just wrong. So all these individuals who still say like, well, vaccination has been led to autism. No.
No, no studies that have found a link between vaccines and autism. There aren't.
It's just so disappointing because, like, this is the hill that you literally might die on. Or your kid might get sick on.
Well, and one of the memes that I've seen on social media is go to a cemetery sometime and look at the number of children who died in childhood before, like, 1955.
Mm-hmm.
Before vaccines became widely used.
Yeah.
The numbers were astonishing.
Yeah.
And that's why if you had a big family, if you had 6 or 8 kids, you might lose 2.
Two in childhood. Yeah.
Because they weren't vaccinated.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't get it. I never will get it. And even when someone tries to explain it on a level-headed plane for me, I'm still like, no, it doesn't make it. There's not enough proof that you can present to me, scientific proof. And I'm talking studies, peer-reviewed over years, that will show to me that vaccines are a government cover up and the other thing is like one of the big things for people with regard to the COVID vaccination was like, well, it happened so fast. The COVID vaccination happened so fast and we didn't have time to test it. Well, it's been around now for quite a few years. And also your attitude towards vaccinations is I don't believe in them. Well, where's your proof? I just know. Well, isn't that the same sort of thing you're holding to those vaccinations? You don't believe that enough studying and enough evidence has gone into these vaccinations to work for you.
And yet.
But yet you make these snap decisions that you're not going to make vaccinations because what, a podcaster told you? So it just, it baffles my mind. It will forever. I don't understand it.
Well, I just go back to all of the warnings when COVID first came out and the COVID vaccine first became available. And remember the people sticking spoons to their foreheads saying they got the shot and they became magnetic?
Yeah.
I'm still waiting. Come on, baby, bring it.
Maybe,
I'm not sure what advantage that would give me, but I just, it's like, well, if that's a thing, then I feel like I'm missing out.
You don't want to be left out of becoming magnetic.
Exactly.
You don't want to be an X-Men,
like
though.
Being Magneto.
Magneto.
Okay, fine. Her too. I know it's a guy.
All right. Alicia on the live stream said, and this is very ingrained. My mom had me so afraid of autism and vaccines that my kids didn't get any for years. Then my son being diagnosed with autism proved her wrong.
Wow.
Autism doesn't care about your vaccinations. It's going to happen or it's not going to happen.
Well, and if you have 3 children and they all get vaccinated and one gets autism.
But there's always a workaround then. But there's something wrong with the body of the child then.
It was this particular case.
They accepted the vaccination and it turned, you know, there's always a reason to prove their non-facts.
Well, and now we have this to look forward to. Jay Bhattacharya will be leading the National Institutes of Health in the second Trump administration. Dr. Bhattacharya was famous during COVID. He was a big proponent of getting herd immunity, which essentially means let everybody get sick and then they'll develop natural antibodies. Yeah, we're going to lose, you know, 1 million, 2 million, 3 million before we get to that herd immunity. But yeah, he's going to be heading up the National Institutes of Health.
Cool. Can't wait.
Something to look forward to. Little blue sky update on the way. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Yip, 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 yip. Cha-da-da-da, cha-da-da-da-da.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Jess P.S. on the board, in for Calvin, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment. If you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Putz de Leon continues to actively ruin. Coming up after the 10:30 news, Maggie Dawn will be here. We're going to talk a little bit more about Michael Gableman, of course, who just spent a couple million dollars of our taxpayer money in Wisconsin to find essentially no evidence of voter fraud. And now he's in a little bit of trouble.
Essentially, no.
Yeah. So we'll kick that around with Maggie. She had Jeff Mandel on from Law Forward, who made some really, really salient points, I thought. So we're going to talk about that with Maggie Dawn coming up after 10:30. Wanted to do a little update, though, on Blue Sky, because they continue picking up millions of users.
I'm looking at mine right now.
How many followers do you have?
I have officially now, I have 103.
Look at you.
Honestly, I'm not kidding you. I get excited to go into it. I'm like, what bit of sunshine or funny will I see or a cool video? Not, hey, you know how the world's on fire right now? I just poured some gasoline on it and it's your fault.
I mean, certainly you can find those kinds of things on Blue Sky, but it does seem to be just a much more positive. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of lighter stuff on there.
Yeah.
And things you can follow. But I found this morning. Chinese state media is reportedly troubled by the latest accidents of Twitter users who are flocking to Blue Sky. State outlets, which put considerable money into amassing millions of followers on Twitter by buying ads, deploying bots, and hiring influencers. And they are disturbed by seeing a plateau in the growth, so they can't foist their propaganda on us.
I don't care.
The growing popularity of Blue Sky has sparked worried chatter within Chinese state media circles. He predicts the accounts on Twitter will migrate to Blue Sky, although it might take time. So if you need a little more encouragement on checking out that platform, check it out.
I mean, just get some accounts. I mean, you can hire people or you can write algorithms that can create accounts and make bots. It's going to suck when the bots come through there hard. Like, I'm sure there's bots in there right now. But, like, I literally, like, if you go, I had nearly 2,100 followers like 2 weeks ago. I'm down to 100 less. Like,
on Twitter?
Just losing them left and right. And they're mostly bot accounts and people leaving. I don't know why they're so worried. They can still put their money into Blue Sky, right? Like, you can buy ads on Blue Sky.
There are no ads on Blue Sky.
There are no ads on Blue Sky?
No.
I guess I didn't even notice that.
And I've been seeing things, you know, they're going to have to they're working on some kind of subscription model.
Yeah.
And from what I've read also, they have 20 employees at Blue Sky. That's it.
Well, I mean, when you think about Twitter, like before Putz de Leon came along and bought it, you thought of Twitter as this behemoth of a business. And they had it, but they don't, it didn't take as much because it's still running now. And he's fired like a great deal of his employees.
Oh yeah!
It doesn't surprise me that Blue Sky has 20 employees.
They can work it.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure it'll grow. And hopefully it does. And I'm so used to seeing ads, Jane. I never have noticed there are no ads.
There are no ads on Blue Sky. So you don't have to, because I ended up blocking ads all the time on Twitter.
And what they do now on Twitter is you can't block them, you can't comment on them,
shake them.
They're just absolutely. Like this, I don't know, amorphous thing on your timeline that cannot be contacted or any way, shape, or form interacted with. So therefore, you have no choice.
Well, and that's going to get even worse after the first of the year.
Yeah.
With changes that Elon plans to make. I do want to share one little warning, though. When I was on Blue Sky yesterday and I looked for Mr. Global, our friend Matt Randolph, who is the oil and gas industry expert. He's been on the show many times. We're going to have him on sometime in December.
Yeah.
But I searched for Mr. Global yesterday, and he came up, and it's the same profile picture he uses on TikTok and on Twitter. And so I sent him a direct message, and I said, "Hey, Matt, good to see you. You know, nice to see you here on Blue Sky." I said, I'm gonna reach out to you, and I'll send you an email to get you on the show. And I got this weird response back saying, "Hi, nice to hear from you. What email address did you use to contact me?" And I thought that made me twitchy. So I went to my email account and I emailed Matt and I said, "Oh, by the way, in case you're not on Blue Sky, there's a new imposter you." And he said, "Yeah, that's not me." And so that is something that you want to be aware of and be a little wary of.
Well, yeah, especially on, I believe it'd be TikTok, the amount of Mr. Global imposters. He said it's a full-time job just
knocking
to report them.
Off.
Yeah. I mean, it is absolutely crazy pants. Because the first one I followed was the incorrect one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I'm smart. But yeah.
But how do you tell the difference? They're all using his same profile picture.
Yes. I don't know how you, I mean, because, well, they have check marks on TikTok.
They do.
He should get a check mark.
Well, and I think if you want to follow Mr. Global, and I think he's concentrating more now on his YouTube channel.
Yes.
So if you want to follow him, and he's brilliant. He has all kinds of great insights. He's been working in the oil and gas industry for more than 30 years. Mm-hmm. He owns his own little oil company in Oklahoma. So check out Mr. Global on YouTube.
You ever wonder what that feels like? You're like, what do you do? I own an oil field.
But he's not ExxonMobil by any stretch of the imagination.
So it's boutique.
It's a boutique oil company.
It's boutique oil.
He's like the B&B of oil companies.
Yeah, he's like indie records. He's Sub Pop of oil and gas. Right, you know, he's so cool.
All right, news is coming up next. When we return, the incomparable Maggie Dawn will be with us. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide, potentially global, Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
You're an honorary.
I'm one of the girls talking.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Jess P.S., on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Or you can call and text directly from the Civic Media app. And starting next week.
What's that?
There might be a way you could win things via the Civic Media app.
Not me.
Well, not us, but people who are listening. So if you haven't downloaded it yet, do it now. Get a little head start. Go to wherever you get your apps. Look for Civic Media, C-I-V-I-C. Civic Media. Download the Civic Media app. It's absolutely free.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited to be joined by our friend and colleague and host of the Maggie Dawn Show every Monday through Friday, 2 to 4 p.m. across the network. Maggie Dawn, how are you, my friend? How's it going this morning?
I'm wonderful. Happy early Thanksgiving to you and Greg and Jess P.S.
Absolutely. We are looking forward to being off for a couple of days.
Yeah.
We're going to be off tomorrow.
Oh my gosh.
And then
bring it on.
Yeah. Matt Rothschild is going to be filling in for us in the big chair on Friday and on Monday. So we will all be back on next Tuesday. But we have a special show lined up for you tomorrow. If you need some background noise while you were prepping your turkey and making your green bean casserole, we will be there for you.
You might hear about Schooley McSchoolface again.
Oh, it's such a good story.
Yeah.
So. Maggie, you had Jeff Mandel on from Law Forward on your show. I don't know if it was this week or if it was last week.
It all blends together, Jane.
It does.
Does it not?
It's all big. It's all one big hot dish.
Yes, I believe it was last Tuesday.
Last Tuesday.
When I had Jeff on, yes.
And the reason I wanted to talk about that with you this morning is because I don't know if you read the Cap Times, but I love their editorials in the Cap Times because I tend to agree with them and they also make me laugh. Here is the headline from the Cap Times editorial board. Don't let Robin Voss worm his way out of the Gableman fiasco. Robin Voss has been at the Speaker of the Assembly since 2013. And he, of course, is the one who hired Michael Gableman to find evidence of voter fraud. And then he spent $2 million, a little more, of our money, Wisconsin taxpayer money. 2.3. At one point, according to this editorial, we were paying him $11,000 a month.
My goodness.
That's a good gig if you can get it.
I mean, sign me up. At least I have some familiarity with election laws and processes.
What? Me? So you won't have to spend the first couple months just studying because you got
up in a law library.
Well, yeah. you gotta go to all those MyPillow symposiums all across the country.
Exactly.
You really gotta take in the information. That's the one thing that we don't talk enough about.
Yes, is the depth of knowledge about election processes and the functioning of democracies that you can learn from a guy who sells pillows on TV and used to be a cokehead. I mean, sure. Mm-hmm.
Makes perfect sense. I know.
It really does.
According to this editorial, Voss plucked Michael Gableman from well-deserved obscurity and lavished the former justice's boondoggle with millions of tax dollars. Why? To save his own political skin, Trump wanted an investigation of the election. Just a day before Voss announced he was hiring Gableman, Trump accused Voss and other GOP legislative leaders of working hard to cover up election corruption in Wisconsin. So Robin Voss did what Donald Trump wanted him to do and hired Michael Gableman. And from what Jeff Mandel said from Law Forward on your show, Michael Gableman essentially broke every single rule that lawyers in Wisconsin are expected to follow, correct?
Yeah, that was the quote of the interview.
Seriously.
In Jeff's language, which I have reviewed the complaint against former Supreme Court Justice Gableman myself, but Jeff's line was, listen, in the state of Wisconsin, the oath that attorneys take is actually quite detailed and lengthy. In a lot of states, it's raise your hand, I do solemnly swear to uphold to the best of my ability the constitutions of the United States of America and insert state name here, right? Yep, super great, off you go, you're done. No. They are lengthy, the oaths that we attest to and say we will do, and it not only uphold the constitutions, but to be an officer of the court, to not misrepresent things, zealous advocacy, preservation of attorney-client privileges, all these different elements of being a lawyer, which is the standard that I think all lawyers really should be held to with consistency. And in Jeff's language, Mike Gableman violated every single provision in the attorney oath in the state of Wisconsin and did so flagrantly on multiple occasions. If there was not a case for disbarment, if this isn't a case for disbarment, I legit have no idea what is.
Well, and that's something even, you know, one point we have been bringing up for months now is the fact that Robin Voss has said, even in the face of him hiring Michael Gableman by Trump's behest, that the elections in 2020 were fair and safe and secure and we're good to go. Now he's come out saying, I hope that Michael Gableman is disbarred. Robin Voss is not holding back. But it also goes back to, he was your choice.
Yes.
You could have chosen a lot of people and you chose this guy. And now you're making it seem, you're trying to distance yourself. No, you picked him. You spent the money. You gave him the resources. There's some basic accountability.
Yeah, beyond the like you picked him part is that all of Mike Gableman's shortcomings as a legal thinker, as someone operating in a political forum about something that's highly politicized, and frankly, his moral ambiguity or lack of a moral compass was all known, well known before Robin Voss appointed him. One need only look at his term on the state Supreme Court. He was largely a laughingstock. And I don't mean amongst liberal lawyers or lawyers that lean left. I mean amongst conservative jurists. He was not considered to be a big thinker or a good legal scholar, or even a good basic legal writer. He was a joke. His campaign to win the seat on the state Supreme Court is what landed him in ethics hot water the first time. He effectively engaged in active knowing misrepresentations in his advertising campaign, which is what led him to get into ethics trouble before. And the only reason he wasn't sanctioned previously is that the state Supreme Court is the body that ultimately determines whether attorneys are sanctioned. And he was on the Supreme Court, had he actually figured out this is a conflict of interest, recused himself. And so the court deadlocked on whether or not to impose any sort of penalty. And again, that campaign, those ads not only included falsehoods, which were known, it was race baiting. It was some of the most racist sort of tropes that could have been used to when he ran against Louis Butler. So to summarize here, he was a known idiot, not a good lawyer. He had ethically compromised himself multiple times before, barely evaded sanction the first time around, is a race baiter and a political hack. Yeah, Robin, pick that guy. And I need to emphasize again, all of this was known. All Robin Voss had to do, and listen, he has dealt with very good lawyers for the entire length of his term on the assembly. He's dealt with excellent lawyers that helped Robin Voss and Republicans gerrymander Wisconsin into oblivion after the 2010 census,
yes,
where over 50% of us, near 60% of us were voting for Democrats, and yet the state assembly was 60% Republicans. He's dealt with very good conservative lawyers in this state. He could have asked any one of them, hey, who is the premier conservative election law expert, right? He didn't do that. He picked Mike Gabelman because he was a political hack with no moral compass, right? Because that is the only kind of person that would have reduced the political heat being focused on Robin Voss from Donald Trump. He had to give them like a rabid dog, right? Someone unmoored, again, by attorney ethics, basic core morality, or any sort of fidelity to the law or how our elections actually work. They needed a know-nothing political hack dupe. That's who he picked. Robin Voss always knew that. For him to get up and now throw Michael Gabelman under the bus as if he had no idea that this guy was grotesquely unqualified, and then to double down on that by saying, I hope he loses his license forever and goes back to working at the Home Depot, should beg the question, why are you slamming people that work at the Home Depot, you elitist?
Yes.
And secondly, wait, you found him at Home Depot? He wasn't employed by some law firm, you know, about election law? Then why the hell did you pick him from there? Oh, wait, see Maggie Dawn's like first set of 6 points, because that's why he did. He but, always knew.
But couldn't he have, certainly he could have found someone who is still ethically compromised and yet familiar with the law, or was this just the easiest way to go?
So you bring up an excellent point. If you figure like, okay, ethically compromised, morally doesn't have really a good, no fidelity to the law, hack, blah, 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 blah. Well, maybe just get somebody who knows a little bit about the law and like knows that they need to comply with open records laws and isn't actively going to destroy documents, talk smack about opposing counsel because they're women, insinuate all sorts of sexual innuendo about the judge and opposing counsel.
Yeah, it's
like
just
someone that just doesn't suck so much would have been nice.
Seriously, though, I mean, there were so many things that went off the rails with him. And this goes back early on.
All of the things.
All of the things, even to the when renting his office space and then not keeping records, losing records, well, destroying records. It's mind blowing.
For me, and it's not funny, but it's comical in the whole scope of this thing.
Scheme was, of things, yeah.
Yes. The fact that he went to Waukesha to try to get the mayor of Green Bay arrested. And I just imagine someone in Waukesha going, you know, that's not here, right? Like, you know, we can't do there here because we have to do here. That's there. Go there for there, not here.
The guy doesn't know where Green Bay is. I mean, also add to geographic ignorance about the state which he's supposed to, you know, ensure that the elections went. You know, jurisdictional competence would be important when you're looking at elections because they operate differently in different counties, depending on whether you have central count. It matters, you know, which municipalities are in which counties and how it all works. Again, total ignoramus. That's who Robin Voss intentionally, with knowledge of four, picked, right? Like, that is who
that's the guy. That was the guy.
That's my guy. That moron over there. Let's pick that guy.
Mm-hmm. And this doesn't preclude him from running again for the Supreme Court, right? He could just be like, I'm back, baby. I could do it again. Oh, remember me?
He's got the name. Anything is now possible.
Well, yeah. He's got the name recognition now. I mean, everybody knows who he is. He's got that going for him.
Yeah. It just...
I'm sure people would vote for him. And again, here's the thing. Whatever people want to say about Dan Kelly, who ran against Janet Protasiewicz, Dan Kelly is a brilliant guy. I also think he's kind of a jerk. I've sat literally next to the guy at dinners and watched him like hold forth at the dinner and sort of like look askance at anyone else who dare proffer an opinion about the law because their name is not Dan Kelly. But the guy is smart.
He knows what he's doing.
Knows the law. Yeah. Right? You could have picked Dan Kelly had you wanted to back then. Dan was known to this ecosystem.
Right.
One of my fellow law school classmates has been a conservative lawyer, right? And has worked on all sorts of things for the Republican Party of the state of Wisconsin. Could have picked my buddy from law school, who's a really smart guy and a good lawyer and actually, you know, follows the attorney code of ethics. Any of those,
there's
that's
your
just
first problem
off the top of my head, right?
Right.
There's the first problem.
But I'm wondering too now, yeah, if you have someone who's actually competent, they could have come to the conclusion much sooner there was no voter fraud, and that ultimately did not help feed the narrative. We're going to continue our conversation with Maggie Dawn. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bott, Jess P.S. coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. After the 11 o'clock news, very, very important segment, Tater Tot Casserole Wars. My sister and I have this ongoing disagreement on what belongs in a tater tot casserole. We will be taking your calls.
What doesn't belong in a tater tot casserole,
well,
Jane?
We'll get to that. There, see, I
okay, have I don't want to jump the shark.
Strong opinions.
Jump the gun.
Strong. You'll have to stick around, Maggie, after 11 o'clock.
I will be listening. You may get a phone call from me.
Excellent.
It's about food. I'm going to have an opinion about
fabulous.
It.
Fabulous.
Like, oh, are we talking about food?
And then next hour at this time, we will wrap it up as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Turkey versus Unexpected Intruder edition. Right now, though, Maggie Dawn is here from the Maggie Dawn Show, 2 to 4 p.m. across the network. And we were talking about Michael Gableman being called out for breaking pretty much every ethical rule in Wisconsin in order to be a lawyer. So what happens to him now, Maggie? Does he get drawn? Is he dragged before a court of his peers and he's beaten about the face and neck with a dead fish? Or what happens to the
ooh,
guy?
Ooh, I'll hold a dead fish and do that, man.
Can we stand in line?
If a girl could wish for a holiday present of holiday presents...
That would be
dead fish slapping of Michael Gableman
high
be
on the list.
Top of, Probably. Can they be real stinky too?
It's got to be slimy too.
Yes, slimy and stinky. Okay. So one thing to note is that the charges include a claim, an allegation that Michael Gableman lied in his response to the OLR's investigatory inquiries to him. So I just want everybody to like absorb that. So when the OLR tells you that they have opened an expansive investigation into your incompetent, lying, law-violating, oath-breaking conduct over the course of years that was well-publicized and then, you know, derided by the very guy that hired you as he's driving the bus over your back. One of the things that you probably don't want to do is then lie when you're responding to the regulatory agency that will determine whether or not you can retain your law license. But apparently, allegedly, that is what he did. And one of the things that he lied about, and this is really important, is whether or not there was an attorney-client relationship between the state legislature and Michael Gableman. And say what you may and what we will and shall about Robin Voss and the GOP-controlled Assembly and Senate. But there is a thing that is sacrosanct in the practice of law, and that is the fidelity to client.
You work on behalf of your client.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And one of the violations alleged is that he went out and actively campaigned against his client, in part based upon information and access that he had because of his role as a lawyer. So to take this out of this stupidly political big lie 1.0 thing, this would be like, Jane, if you hired me to manage, say, a dispute with your landlord or something like that. And as we're in the midst of said dispute,
You're just breaking up a little bit. I don't know if you're frozen.
Let's try now. How's this?
Nope.
You are pretty frozen. Maybe you want to dial back in real quickly. We've only got a couple of minutes left in the segment. That was Maggie Dawn from the incomparable Maggie Dawn Show. Just having a couple of issues there.
This week getting juicy.
I know. I did want to plug, too, that today on Maggie's show from 2 to 4 p.m., she's going to be joined by Dan Terrio for the entire show.
Great.
It's a very special Thanksgiving celebration of Native American heritage. They will be talking about the history of Thanksgiving, First Nation dishes.
Amazing.
And ingredients, which should be really, really fascinating.
And if you miss out on that episode today, you can always go to the website, civicmedia.us, and download that episode and all episodes to listen as a podcast. And go to your favorite podcast distribution center of choice and subscribe to it.
Maggie is back.
There she is.
Hello. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I just very briefly, because I know we're coming up on it. It would be as if in that landlord-tenant dispute where you hired me, Jane, if I went out and then spoke in favor of the landlord and used facts from the dispute that I only knew because you told them to
and hired me.
Correct. And you were paying me and I went out and spoke in favor of the landlord related to the dispute and used information that I only had by virtue of the privileged communications between you and I. It's like a violation on the most basic tenets of attorney-client privilege. I'm not a fan of Robin Voss, but every client deserves a lawyer that works in their interest without conflict, right? Like baseline.
So does he get dragged before this board now, or do we just have to wait and see?
So there's a ton of process. He'll have an opportunity to respond. Maybe he'll lie again, so that'll be interesting.
It's working great so far.
And add a count. Yeah, you keep going with that tack.
Why stop?
There's then a panel that reviews it. If he doesn't like the outcome, eventually it goes before the Supreme Court, and they will have to adjudicate what happens to Mr. Gableman. All of this, of course, putting a bright shining light on the April 2025 Supreme Court race.
Yes.
Wisconsin. Here we go again, y'all.
Maggie Dawn from the Maggie Dawn Show. Check her out. It's 2 to 4 p.m. across the network. Thank you so very much, my friend. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, Maggie.
Good to see you. Take care. Travel safe.
You as well. News coming up next when we return. Tater Tot Casserole Wars.
Get out of the way.
It's very serious. On the Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I think I'm about ready to sing.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.